I want to talk to you a little bit about missions tonight from my heart. Acts 13. You know, when we talk about missions, some of you are new to the church and you're new to this concept. So I want to put this on a very basic level right now. What is missions? What is missions? Well, here it's basic level. Here's what it is. Missions is a local church like Crossroads. And we send out or we support co-laborers in Christ. And we support them to for them to be able to take the gospel of Christ to areas that we ourselves as a local church could never reach. You know, obviously, you know, we may have a bus ministry that goes to Port Orange. We have a van route that goes into Holly Hill. And, you know, we have ministries that reach out into Deltona. But you know what? We don't have a bus or a van route that goes to Romania. And so missions is us being able to partner with someone who can reach out to areas that we couldn't reach as a local church. Reaching people with the gospel is the heartbeat of God. Now, I've said in the past, missions is the heartbeat of God, and I really don't know if that's completely accurate. Because really, that leads us to the idea that God's heartbeat only deals with people that are far away. Reaching people with the gospel is the heartbeat of God. And that means you reaching people you know, and Doug reaching people he knows, you know, and me reaching people I know. God's heartbeat is just reaching people with the gospel. And one of the ways we do that is, of course, through missions. God's desire is he wants every human being to hear the saving message of Jesus Christ. He wants everybody to have an opportunity to hear it. The Bible says, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be what? Saved. But how shall they hear without a preacher, without somebody to proclaim it, tell it? How are they going to hear without someone? So God's heartbeat is for people to be saved. We know that God God will have all men to be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth, but we know they can't be saved without hearing. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. They've got to hear it. They can't put their faith in something they've never heard. If you've never heard of Jesus Christ, you cannot put your faith in Christ. So therefore, you have to hear of Christ. So God's heartbeat is for people to hear the gospel. He wants them to hear about his son, Jesus Christ, and what he did for them on the cross. Now, the question then, the million-dollar question, is if God's heartbeat is getting the gospel out to people and having them hear about his son and what he's done for them, how does a local church go about accomplishing that? Well, missions is a way to do that, but what is the Bible method for missions? Well, I want to go to the greatest missionary in the Bible, and that's the Apostle Paul. He would be a pattern or an example for us in this dispensation. And how did Paul accomplish the work of the ministry? There's no doubt Paul accomplished a great deal. But you study it out, and Paul, there was a strategic plan there. And Paul wasn't just haphazardly just going out and standing on street corners and yelling. There was a strategic way that he went about doing work for the Lord and doing missionary work. It wasn't just some haphazard thing. There was a plan there. And it starts in Acts 13. I want you to look at this, and I want to share with you a few key things. If we're going to accomplish the work of the ministry and see the gospel get out, the first thing it's going to take is there's got to be willing missionaries. There's got to be people willing to go. Look at Acts 13, verse 1. It says, now there were in the church that was at Antioch certain prophets and teachers, and then he just lists them, Barnabas, Simeon, Lucius, And then notice the very end of the verse there, he lists Saul, which is, we know, the Apostle Paul. So you got these leaders that are like teachers, and they're proclaiming the Word of God to a local assembly like Crossroads. We're the church at Daytona Beach, right? We're Crossroads of Daytona Beach. They were the church at Antioch. It's a local church. You got these guys, and Barnabas and Paul are two of the guys that are leading teachers there. They're teaching the Word. While they're ministering in that local church, God made it clear that he had a special work for Paul and Barnabas to do. Look at verse 2. It says, as they ministered to the Lord and fasted. So they're praying, they're ministering. The Holy Ghost said, separate me, Barnabas and Saul, for the work whereunto I've called them. Now, when it says the Holy Ghost said, I do not know how that happened, and I don't pretend to know. I know that we're in the Acts time period, and I know that we're still at a point where, of course, God's still dispensing revelation, there's still prophets. So I'm assuming that God, through revelation, he gave to some prophets who had that gift, the knowledge and the understanding of there was a work God wanted to accomplish, and he made it clear that Paul and Barnabas were the guys that he wanted to undertake the work. Now, today we know we've got the completed Word of God. We've got the complete revelation of God. And so, you know, that God works in different time periods in different ways. But the point is, God had a work to do, and he had two men he wanted to do it. Question, did Paul and Barnabas have to be willing to do it, though? Yes. And so God said, I want you to separate me, Barnabas and Saul, for the work that I've got for them. That word separate means to set off by a boundary. And so God has a work for these guys to do. They're going to go out. Now listen very closely to what I'm about to say here, okay? What God has for them to do would be the first time it had ever been done. Basically, what's going to happen here is that these two guys are going to be sent out from the church at Antioch. And they're going to go out to foreign soil, and they are going to go to cities, and they are going to evangelize. They are going to preach the gospel and seek to get people saved. And then they're going to do something very unprecedented. They are going to take those believers. They're going to form them into what we would call a local church with spiritual leadership, elders in those churches. This is pioneering new ground. This had never been done. You understand? The church planting era that we've been in for the last almost 2,000 years, this is where it starts. You do not see the church at Jerusalem sending out guys to go plant churches because that knowledge wasn't there yet. They were still thinking kingdom, the kingdom coming to the earth. That's what they're thinking. We've got to evangelize Israel because Israel's got to get saved so that the kingdom can come, and then they can be the channel of blessing to the nations. So God, in his mind, God knows I'm setting that plan aside. And what I'm going to do is I'm going to bypass Israel. I'm going to bypass the church at Jerusalem. And I'm going to send two guys out, not from the church at Jerusalem, who up to this point had kind of sanctioned everything. I'm going to bypass the church at Jerusalem. I'm going to bypass the nation of Israel, who were supposed to be the source of blessing. Because of their rebellion and disobedience, I'm bypassing them. And I'm going to send two guys out from a Gentile church. And I'm going to send them out to evangelize and plant other churches, and it's not going to be through the authority of Peter. It's not going to be through the authority of the church at Jerusalem. It's not going to be through the authority of the 12 apostles. God says, I'm going to do it through the authority of my son, Jesus Christ. And so God's doing something really unique here. He's doing something very different. But these guys got to be willing to go. So When we talk about, and this is really overused, this saying, but we talk sometimes about, well, God called me to go to the mission field. And that kind of leads people to think that there was some spooky, mysterious thing that happened, or some sign from heaven, or maybe a yellow balloon with writing on it that descended from heaven. And it had on there, "Go to the mission field," you know. And that's not what we're talking about. You know, there's a verse in 1 Timothy 3:1. And you know what the Bible says? "He that desireth the office of a bishop desireth a good work." Do you know what it is? When we talk about the calling of God, that's not sitting around waiting for a zap, waiting for a lightning bolt, waiting for a yellow balloon. Here's what it is, okay? You've got people in a local church. Hopefully they're growing in their spiritual maturity. They're growing in their understanding of the Word of God. They've got a heart for people right where they are right now. The Bible says, look at verse 2. Look at verse 2. Can anybody tell me what's the first three words of verse 2? As they ministered. They've already got a heart for people. They're already in the Word teaching people. They already love ministering for God right now. If somebody does not enjoy ministering for God in their local church, why in the world are they going to like doing it in Romania? Amen. You know, if they don't have a heart for people in Daytona, why are they going to have a heart for people in Zambia? You know, so the idea is that you're growing in the Lord, you're maturing in the Word, and it's like you're so excited, you just want to share it with others. So you get involved, and you start serving in your local church, you minister, you see lives changed, and you're like, man, I'd like to do this with my life. And there's that desire in you to want to do that. And you feel like, man, I can't do anything else but this. Everything else rings hollow. Rob Hall, he and I met at Popeye's Fried Chicken. Remember that? Praise the Lord, I love Popeyes, amen. I hope they have Popeyes fried chicken in heaven. I hope it's manna in heaven. And we went to Popeyes, and he told me, he had began growing in the Lord, and he told me by his own testimony, I began getting things out of my life I needed to get out, and I was just growing in the Lord, loving ministering, and he informed me at Popeyes that day, I've quit my job. And what was your title? You were a director of IT for a chain of hotels. And he's like, I quit my job. I said, you what? He said, I quit my job. He said, I want more freedom to be able to serve the Lord in the ministry at Crossroads. And so he just totally was trusting the Lord, and it was great. And he ended up in full-time ministry over a gradual period of time. He basically, that's his goal. That's what he wanted to do. That was his desire. And it ended up happening. And that's what we're talking about. So you got to have willing missionaries. But number two, those missionaries have to be sent out by a local church. Now, listen, God has not called a local church to hoard and to keep all the blessings to themselves. The local church has to be willing to share its blessings with others. And that includes, yes, the church sharing and sending out some of its best workers. We've lost a lot of workers through the years here because they went out and did different things for the Lord. And a church has to be willing to do that. God made it clear what he desired to do with Paul and Barnabas. And you know what's interesting? The church at Antioch did not hesitate. Look at verse 3. It says, and when they had fasted and prayed and laid their hands on them, they what? Sent them away. They didn't hesitate. Did it hurt? You think it hurt them to have to send them away? I'm sure there was a part of them that hurt. I mean, if you had Paul, the Apostle Paul, on your staff here, wouldn't you hate to lose him? Yeah. So, you know, it's Paul and Barnabas leave this local church, and then they go out to plant churches. You see, God is a God of authority, a God of order, and a God of structure. Man, if we could just get that through our head. God is a God of authority and structure in everything he does. He's a God of order. He's not a God of chaos. So God works through a local church to send out a missionary. Why? So that that missionary has prayer support, so that he has financial support, so that he can have accountability. Go over to Acts 14 and let me show you something here. When Paul finishes up his first missionary journey, notice what happens here, Acts 14:26. He finishes up his first missionary journey, and it says, "And then sailed to Antioch, from whence they had been recommended to the grace of God for the work which they fulfilled. And when they were come and had gathered the church at Antioch, their sending home church together, they rehearsed all that God had done with them. And now he had opened the door of faith unto the Gentiles, and there they abode a long time with the disciples." You see, the church at Antioch was the sending church. And so when they finished up their first term, if you will, their first missionary trip, they go back to their home church and report on the work that they had done. So you got to have willing missionaries. Those missionaries need to be sent out from a local church. But then finally, the missionary himself, the missionaries need to understand their biblical job description. Now, naturally, a missionary's job is like a pastor. I mean, you know, it entails a multitude of different responsibilities. You know, and there's so many different things that they do. But there are three key initiatives that we see Paul repeating wherever he went. There are three key things Paul did over and over again as a missionary. The first one was this. Wherever he went, listen, wherever he went, he preached the word of God and the gospel of Jesus Christ. That's a key part of a missionary's job description. Preach the word, preach the gospel of Christ. Look at Acts, go back to Acts 13 and look at verse 5. Acts 13:5. They're sent out, they depart in verse 4 from church at Antioch, and when they were at Salamis, what'd they do? What'd they do when they got there? They preached the word of God in the synagogues of the Jews, and they also had John to their minister. There's a team here of guys that are going out. And you go on through here and it's what you see. You know, Paul is preaching the word of God everywhere he goes. You look down here at, go over to chapter 14. Let's go over there. They get to Lystra and Derbe. And look at verse 7. When they got to Lystra and Derbe and they got to those cities, what does verse 7 say? What did they do when they got there? It's not real complicated, is it? And there they preach the gospel. You look down at verse 15. They said, "Sirs, why do ye these things? We also are of men of like passion with you, and we preach unto you that you should turn from these vanities unto the living God, which made heaven and earth and the sea and all things that are therein." Verse 21, he said, "And when they had preached the gospel to that city," talking about Derbe, "when they preached the gospel to that city and had taught many." So Paul, everywhere he went, he's teaching the Bible and he's preaching the gospel. Now listen, we do not send missionaries out to foreign fields to simply build hospitals, feed the poor, house the homeless. Now, there's nothing wrong with any of that. And they may do some of those things. Very well, a missionary may end up doing those things. But if that's all he does, and he's not preaching the gospel, and he's not teaching the Bible to people, then you know what? All we've really done is we've made people a little bit more comfortable on their road to destruction. It's all we've really done. If all we're going to do is go feed the poor, house the homeless, and that's all the missionary does, and he never gives them the gospel, all we've done is make them a little more comfortable on their road to destruction. So you see, a missionary is there to preach the word, preach the gospel. That's their primary responsibility. Preach the saving message of Jesus Christ. Paul said, "I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it's the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth." The second responsibility of missionaries that I see, I mean, I'm talking about the Bible now, and that's to plant local churches. You see, what Paul did is he'd take his converts and he'd organize them into local churches, local bodies of believers. Look at Acts 14 and notice verse 21. It says, "And when they had preached the gospel to that city and had taught many," notice, "they returned," and what's that next word? Again. So they went, they backtracked. They went back to Lystra, Iconium, and Antioch. They'd already been there. He'd already been to those cities, preached the gospel, and saw people saved. But look at verse 22. It says, confirming the souls of the disciples and exhorting them to continue in the faith, and that we must through much tribulation enter into the kingdom of God. Verse 23, and when they had ordained them what? Elders in every church. And had prayed with fasting, they commended them to the Lord on whom they believed. You say, man, he's already ordaining spiritual leadership in those churches. Wow. What's the time period, Pastor Dan, when he left the church at Antioch and now he's ordaining leadership in the churches? Man, that must have been like 10 or 15 years, right? 15 months. 15 months. See, we get in our mind that church planting is going to take years and years and years and years and years. That's not what we see in the Bible. You see, when a missionary goes to the foreign field, he needs to plant a church. He needs to plant a self-sustaining, autonomous local church that has its own spiritual leadership. That's his job. He's not going to a foreign field to just have tent revivals, get people saved, and then hightail it out of town. That's not a good way to do missionary work. The missionary should help in organizing those believers into a self-sustaining local church. They need to have a pastor that local church supports. You say, why? Because the Bible says they need to do that. That's good for a church. The Bible says that the elders that teach the word and doctrine should be counted worthy of double honor. That's honorarium. It's talking about money. That local church should support their leaders that are feeding them. Why? Because that's just the right thing to do. And that's what people need to be doing. You see, then what happens is that local church that's been planted, then that local church that's now autonomous, self-supporting, self-sustaining, they've got a national right there that's been trained, and now he's equipped and pastoring that church. Now, eventually, what's going to happen? They send out missionaries who they send out missionaries, and they start churches, and it just keeps perpetuating that way. It's like when you have kids, you know, you have kids, you try to raise them up in a godly way so that one day they'll have kids and they'll raise godly children. And it keeps perpetuating. It's the same way with churches. See, God wants Crossroads to start churches. And then those churches start churches, and then those churches start churches, and that's how it perpetuates. What's the third thing? Well, preach the word and the gospel, plant local churches. The third thing I see in the Bible that a missionary ought to be doing is to teach, train, and establish national leadership in each local church. In verse 23 of Acts 14, look at it. Stay with me now, a couple more minutes. It says, and when they had ordained them elders in what? Every church. And had prayed with fasting, they commended them to Paul. No. Paul cut the apron string, basically, and he commended them to who? The Lord, on whom they believed. He wasn't like the archbishop. Okay, now they respected Paul, and he wrote the letters, the letter of Galatians to them, and gave them instruction and advice. But a lot of them had turned away from Paul. A lot of them, you know, so he gave them advice and instruction, but he realized you got to turn them loose. You got to turn loose. You got to commend them to the Lord. When he ordains elders, do you understand the what that means? That means that's when you ordain elders in spiritual leadership, that's the signs of a mature church. In 15 months, they had planted churches in four cities, had raised up national leaders there, and ordained them and commended them to the Lord, which is a sign of a mature church. If you look over at let's look over at chapter 18, Acts 18, And again, look what Paul does. He's in Corinth. And in verse 11, Acts 18:11, it says, "And he continued there a year and 6 months." And what did he do? Teaching the word of God among them. What's he doing? He's getting leaders trained up. He's working himself out of a job. Do you know what a good missionary does? He works himself out of a job. He goes in, gets people saved, and then he does what Brother Doug put up on the screen. He practices 2 Timothy 2:2. And he takes those leaders and he wants to mature some leaders who are going to take that thing. They're going to take it, and he's going to work himself out of a job, but that's okay because that'll free him up to go to another city and do it again. And that's missions, folks. Now, I'll just tell you, we've gotten away from that, I think, a lot. And you see more and more now of missionaries that basically are just going to the foreign field and they're pastoring a church. And you say, well, you know, is that okay? Well, I mean, you can do that. But I don't know that we should call that missions in the Bible sense. You see, a missionary doesn't start a church and then stay there forever. He disciples people. He knows how. That's why one of the qualifications of an elder is, the Bible says, he's got to have his family in order. The idea is that if he can grow and mature his own family, then he can do it with other people too. He can take other men and he can take them from point A and grow and mature them over here to where they're a leader. And so the missionary is discipling, grooming leaders, and then he turns the church over to them and he leaves. He goes somewhere else and does that all over again, and he repeats the process. And that's what Paul did here. You say, well, how long does that take? Well, Paul planted 4 churches in Galatia, as I said, in no more than 15 months, and was appointing elders in those churches. And again, it's he had a strategic plan. And there was a lot of planning, a lot of organizing. There was a team there that he had, and there was a lot that went into that. Paul had 3 missionary journeys that we read about in Acts. And in 10 years, he successfully planted churches throughout the 4 provinces of the Roman Empire and spoke as if that part of the work was done. Short cycle church planting. You get in there, you evangelize, you get people saved, and then you start growing, discipling them, turn it over to them, and move on. Well, what's wrong with a guy just going to the field and just staying in one place for year after year after year after year after year for an extended period? You say, Pastor Dan, what's wrong with that? Well, a couple dangers there. Number one, it's not good for the missionary. You say, what do you mean? Well, what happens is the missionary, because he's probably being funded with American funds, what can happen, and I'm not saying this always happens, but what can happen is the missionary can maybe lose some of the urgency of getting that church planted and getting nationals trained, because the funds are going to be coming in every month and they're the same. So he can lose that urgency. You know, whereas if a guy knows I got 2 years and there's no more funds, there's a little more urgency, isn't there? I got to get this thing planted. Otherwise, I'm not going to have any funds in 2 years. But if I can get it planted, get people trained, then I can go on and I can do it somewhere else. And not only that, but it's not only hard for the missionary, but the second thing is it's not good for the church that he's endeavoring to plant. Because what I've seen happen through the years is many times an American missionary will go to the field And if he stays in one place for too long, what happens is the people there begin to rely on him as the professional from the United States. And nobody can teach like him, and nobody can do the work of the ministry like him. And what happens is that church becomes codependent on the missionary. And what can happen is, because we're all humans, is the missionary can get to like that codependency on him. And so it becomes unhealthy for the church and for him. You see, what we see with Paul is the longest he ever stayed in one place planting a church, he stayed in Corinth a year and a half, and the longest he ever stayed in one place was Ephesus, and that was just 3 years. 3 years. He would typically be in a place months, but not years. And was able to plant churches. Sometimes he may, would leave a guy behind for a little while, but not forever. You know, or he may send a guy back to check on him. Or he may write him a letter to give him some instruction. He's there for them as a resource if they need him, but not for them to be codependent on him. And so Paul, you'll see him staying in a place, usually months, but not years and years and years. You see, when we talk about doing missionary work, what we learn from the Bible, and I'm strictly using the Supreme Church Planter here as our guideline, I believe God, that's why God gave us this, is that you got to have willing missionaries. But number two, you got to have local churches that are going to stand behind those missionaries, send them out, and be there for them. And number three, the missionary has to understand his job description. And when those things all fall into place and happen, you know what happens? The gospel of Christ goes out. Do y'all believe God wants to save people? And you know what? There were times when Paul would go to an area and they were cold and indifferent to the gospel. And do you know what Paul did? You know what he did? He moved on. He's like, okay, you don't want to hear it? And you count yourself unworthy of eternal life? He told him, you know, remember Athens? He said, you guys are super. When he preached the resurrection, they laughed at him. He moved on. Okay, you're not going to be receptive? I'll go somewhere where they will be receptive. And where they will hear the gospel. Just a practical thing. I mean, you know, it just makes sense. And you'll see Paul using that common sense in his missionary work. Well, I went longer than I planned on. But I really just, I don't know, I've had this on my heart and I wanted to share this with you tonight. God's plan for missions. Aren't y'all thankful that we have a gospel to preach? Amen? And that God says, hey, does the gospel have inherent power? Does the gospel have power? Yes or no? Yes. Can the gospel save souls? Well, you got to go believe in that, number one. Amen? I mean, if we don't believe that, we might as well forget it. Yes, the gospel can change lives. People can be discipled and trained. And then those nationals can take that church and do with it far more than we as non-nationals could ever do. Let's pray.